This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. On today's roundtable, guidelines established for rebuilding New Orleans, and Muhammad Ali sells the rights to his name and image for $50 million. Joining us today from our headquarters in Washington, D.C., Joe Davidson, an editor at The Washington Post, along with Yvonne Bino, author of the book Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture. And Nat Irvin, professor of future studies at Wake Forest University, is at member station WFDD in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thank you all for joining us. And I actually want to start with the issue of New Orleans. The Bush administration wants to set aside an additional $2.5 billion for New Orleans levee construction. The news came as people were awaiting guidelines for rebuilding their flood-prone regions. And I just want to get into a little math. Somebody may be able to explain this a little bit better to me. Now, there was a story at the end of March that said that levee costs were expected to triple to $10 billion. Then there was an initial $2 billion that was offered, $3.1 billion, but $2 billion approved. That was knocked up to $3.5 billion. So even if you add that $3.5 billion to the $2.5 billion, that's only $6 billion. So doesn't that leave us $4 billion short? I know I'm confusing the issue, but I'm confused. Does anyone understand this?
Well, I guess the answer to that is no, since all you hear is laughter. But my guess is that it depends largely on who's making these estimates and which estimate is correct. And the estimates could very well change, I think, because I think it's clear that there's a lot of unknown as it relates to rebuilding the Gulf region, the levees in particular. It seems like that you have various experts who have gone down there and who've come back with different reports. And so I think it's probably as much an art as it is a science, and that might account for some of the discrepancy.
And also, too, I think that I would agree with Joe's estimation of the situation. But what we have to be clear about is what's going to get cut. I think initially everyone was on board. We need to rebuild. I think it was about $10 billion, excuse me, that we were talking about at one point. Then there were politicians who were not particularly on board with that amount. It's been reduced to $7.6 billion. We're even talking about at this point of not even giving money to one of the parishes, so that's a $1.6 billion that's being taken off the table. Plaque Mines, I'm quite sure that's not how you say it, but Parish, they're being considered to be taken off the table. So I think it's about a lot of jockeying that's going to go back and forth as to exactly who's going to get these resources. There's been some comment about some of these reductions are redundancies, where we're eliminating redundant programs and projects, but that has yet to really be determined. So I think you're right. I think we're all still not clear on the math, and I think we won't be clear until we're really sure what this total rebuilding it really entails.
Before I get to you, Professor Irvin, I think it's Plaquemine Parish, but I, too, could be very wrong. And the thing that really gets me about all these numbers is that they're all attributed to the administration. So they're all different numbers that have been flowing through the administration at some point. But, Professor, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say I'm no better with the numbers than anybody else. I would say this, though, that is obvious that politics plays a major role in this, how much money will come from the federal government as opposed to the state government. And $10 billion was a lot of money in the beginning, so they changed the numbers to somewhat less than that. I think the good news, though, is that at least the federal government now has come up with some tentative plans for how residents may be able to return. That is by having established what will be the floodplains. So now you have at least the convergence of the insurance companies who may now be willing to fund the homeowners' policies if they decide to return. You have capital investment maybe getting ready to return. And then, you have the estimates by the engineers, the Army Corps of Engineers, who thinks now that by possibly as early as June, they will have a lot of the important work done that gets this city going back. It's an interesting thing for us to be able to watch the emergence or the recreation of a city. It is, it's politics. It's you get numbers right. And in the end, In this instance, we're actually waiting on Mother Nature, hoping that we won't have any major hurricanes or that we won't have any major storms. If we can escape that, then maybe next year we'll be a lot further along than we are now.
You make a great point. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just one more thing on the numbers. This $2.5 billion that was announced this week has received generally favorable reviews in Louisiana, but it still must go to Congress. And so that number could still change once again after it comes out of the out of Washington here. And there's also a question that the governor and others in Louisiana are raising about just how much the state will have to pitch in. There is some talk that the state might have to pitch in $900 million, which it doesn't have. And Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana said this is like throwing a 30-foot rope to someone who's 50 feet from shore and drowning. So it might be a step in the right direction, but for folks in Louisiana, they're not quite satisfied with what they've seen so far.
I'm also intrigued by one provision of this, which says that houses will have to be elevated 3 feet above ground level. Now, there's ground level and then there's sea level. You can have a house that's 3 feet above ground level, but which is still below sea level, at least the bottom of it. So I'm also curious to see how these evaluations of the floodplains really reflect the geography and the topography of New Orleans, which is a very specific city.
Well, I think that's certainly correct. I'm not sure where they drew that 3 feet from, and I think there are people who are not particularly enthusiastic about the feasibility of that 3 feet requirement. I think they're raising the same questions that you're raising. I guess my concern, however, too, is that the Army Corps of Engineers is saying that this repair and upgrade won't even be completed till 2010. So I'm not sure what the interim plan is going to be. God forbid that there is another disaster, you know, how is that going to be handled? And I don't know about everyone else, but I haven't heard about the planning or how things are being handled in the case of such an instance.
Well, this actually brings us to our next topic, which is the Red Cross. It plans changes after Hurricane Katrina problems. It was widely criticized for not reaching enough people fast enough. For one thing, it's going to create a call center that can take 100,000 cases a day, in order to avoid long waits of people who felt like they kept calling back and they kept getting no help. They're also going to try to partner more closely with local organizations, including churches and faith-based organizations. Nat, do you think that this change is critical? Because so many people who donate to the Red Cross.
Oh, it is, Faraya. And, you know, the fact is the Red Cross is very much like the federal government. It's huge. It is, after all, 125 years old. I mean, it was created when Chester Arthur was president, and it's a great organization. It's done over the years. It saved millions of lives, you know, through a lot of programs. But any organization of its size can find itself overwhelmed by a circumstance as Katrina presented itself to our country last year. And it just simply wasn't able to get out of its way. So I think there are a couple of things that the Red Cross is thinking about now. One is, how do you streamline responses? How do you respond more quickly? Streamline the size of the organization so that you're able to respond more quickly to immediate disasters. Number two, and I think you pointed this out, relating more to the people who actually are being affected by the tragedies. In the last instance, the Red Cross was criticized, and this is not the first time it's happened, but the Red Cross has not been sensitive enough to the diversity of the regions in which they find themselves, the organizations located, which, you know, in all 50 states. But so you can look for the Red Cross, I think, now to be much more concerned about the way that the organization looks, the kinds of people, more Latinos, more Black folks involved in the volunteer efforts, and working more with those local kinds of organizations. And the final thing is the whole issue of accountability. You know, they are the designated federal organization to respond in times of crisis, but there was a lot of mismanagement of huge sums of money during this last crisis. And so the watchword this time is going to be accountability.
Joe, how does this tie into the Bush administration's faith-based initiatives recently announcing that they wanted to tie disaster aid to faith-based organizations?
Well, I think that it's I think this is really something that's very much focused on the American Red Cross at this point, because this is an issue of the Red Cross trying to get itself together as opposed to the Bush administration's relationship with faith-based organizations. So I think that there's probably some tie, but it's not necessarily a direct one. This is really about a Red Cross that as it acknowledges and has apologized for, stumbled pretty badly, from according to at least reports that were done by international Red Cross affiliates, such as the British Red Cross. The British Red Cross did a report some time ago, but it was just recently released, and it talked about how really some of the basic needs of beneficiaries were not met. 2 weeks after the hurricane mm-hmm. struck, there were some basic items, feminine hygiene products, juice, Gatorade, other personal types of hygiene products, disinfectant. These things were not available, and I think it's worth remembering that that the Red Cross is the go-to organization. It's a federally right. chartered organization. One story indicated they had 235 volunteers in the field. That's half the population of Washington, D.C. But these volunteers were very frustrated because of poor communications, poor organization, poor direction. And so I think that this is very much an effort to solidify better organized, reorganized perhaps the American Red Cross so that it will be in a much better position to respond the next time there is a disaster.
Yvonne, regardless of these changes, do you think that there's going to be some effort by donors in future disasters to try out smaller organizations? I know that as some reports emerge that the Red Cross may not have made the wisest choices in how it administered its charge in Louisiana, people began asking, oh, you know, what are local charities, grassroots charities?
Well, I think that in the main, no. I think that the Red Cross has a brand that's recognizable by a broad sector of Americans. And I think that in the next disaster, whenever that would be, I think that they would still be the primary organization that people would go to. I, however, think that in local communities, the grassroots organizations, the churches, whatever other aid organizations have a responsibility to get the word out that they also are available and are helping on the ground. I think one of the reasons why a lot of these organizations do not get assistance is people simply don't know that they exist. So I think part of that is going to have to be marketing that happens when there is not a disaster. I think that also, too, people are leery about frauds and scams and the like, and although the Red Cross certainly could have done a better job, and they are currently acknowledging that, I think people are just, again, very leery about handing over money to organizations that they don't know how they're run, how they're structured. So I really would suggest that smaller organizations in regions around the country make themselves known, become trusted allies to citizens, and become places where people feel comfortable giving their money. So that means they just simply cannot wait for a disaster to happen. They have to do this kind of work in the downtime.
The Red Cross has decided, though, has pledged that it to work more closely with community-based organizations and develop partnerships with them. And one story even cited its work or its proposed work with the NAACP as an effort to reach out to bring more diversity to its operation, to better reach a broader section of people, and again to be able to get, I guess, closer to the ground, so to speak, by going through community-based organizations.
But I guess my only thing with that is that when you say partnerships, until we see what those relationships look like, we still don't know who's running what. And I think far too often when we hear a very large organization saying they're partnering, again, I don't want to ascribe any ill will or ill intentions with the Red Cross, but a lot of times this is PR. So people are coming in after, you know, a storm and say, oh, now we have to be more diverse. We're going to, you know, we get with the usual suspects. And again, in some cases, that might be good. In other cases, they may not be good. And also, too, we just don't really know what these relationships are until something actually happens. So again, I really feel that certainly relationships and expanding their network is fine. But I also think that smaller organizations on the ground should be doing more to expose themselves and let people know that they do exist and are there to help.
Okay, we have time for just a speed round going to the entertainment world. Two things. One, Muhammad Ali has apparently agreed to sell the rights to his name and likeness for $50 million to a company called CKX, whose stock, incidentally, has plummeted recently. It's gone down 44% in the past year. And on the other hand, Dave Chappelle walked away, of course, from his $50 million deal with Comedy Central. He finally has started speaking out, telling Esquire magazine, quote, "The bottom line was white people own everything, and where can a black person go and be himself or say something that's familiar to him and not have to explain or apologize?" We have less than 2 minutes left. I'm going to go through everybody. Joe Davidson, thumbs up on the Ali move, thumbs up on Chappelle leaving the show and his reason.
Well, I think it's a good move for Muhammad Ali. I mean, he's getting these $50 million, and my guess is that it will be marketed in a sensitive way. At least that's the initial indication. Let's hope that's true. With Dave Chappelle, you know, I think he feels like he's really an artist, and it takes some guts and some courage to walk away from the kind of deal he had at Comedy Central. He's clearly been able to make his mark in a different way with Dave Chappelle's Block Party, which is a film that I think it cost about $3 million to make, and now it's grossing like four times that amount. So
seems two
to know
thumbs
what he's
up
doing.
From you. Okay.
Okay,
Nat.
Oh, I just think that as far as Dave Chappelle, my wife doesn't get him. My 19-year-old son loves him. I think he's just a young man who, at age 33, is just going through a midlife crisis. Joe said he was an artist. Yeah, but he's also a business person too. And as far as this notion about white people owning everything. You know, if you're making $50 million, that's $50 million that white folks don't own. And I'm not quite sure if I follow that.
So that sounds like a thumb down. What about the Ali move?
Ali, I think, is wonderful. I mean, I think he undersold himself. I mean, after all, is there any image? You can go any place in the world and everybody will know who Muhammad Ali is. So $50 million, they may have gotten away with a steal there.
All right, Yvonne, we only have time for the thumbs up or the thumbs down. What about
you? Okay, I thumbs up on both of them. I think Dave Chappelle made a bold move. We're still talking about it. I don't know that I totally agree with all of his stance, but I think the reality is he might have been getting $50 million, but Comedy Central was getting far more out the deal. And
okay.
I think that's what he's saying.
We're out of time. That was Yvonne Bino, author of the book Stand and Deliver, Joe Davidson, editor at the Washington Post, and Nat Irvin, professor at Wake Forest. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.